Hi Fatin, how are you? I'm going to attempt to narrate a little bit my motivation, or to question again my motivation, why I want to make this piece. And this might come in several audio recordings, and I'm just gonna improvise a bit because I find, or when I thought about it these last days, okay, where to start, or what is actually the real, honest truth, I find it difficult to really find one clear, honest truth. Like I find it has several layers, and I don't know. I guess for me it's important that I do have this self-questioning with myself, and that it can also be a dialogue with you, or that I would also like for you to know, to be a, I don't know, to witness this self-questioning that I'm doing, and to, as we already said in our last phone conversation, that you can further question my statements or interrogate me, or I guess just why exactly I decided to make this solo with Matthew is also a longer process that has had also more to do with the funding system and failed attempts at actually wanting to make a bigger production before, which was completely apolitical, or which was completely more abstract, actually. And you know, after the Breath portraits, I had this desire to continue working with breath, but really more on this very abstract level, and to make a group piece, which would have been called Body of Breath, I think. Yeah, Body of Breath.
So this is just a brief response to this statement. Thank you, Chris, for it. It was really interesting to listen to for me, first of all, because I didn't know about this whole other concept, this other performance that you had envisioned and had written the concept for, that was much bigger and included a number of performers from the Breath portraits. Body of Breath is the piece, right? So that was really interesting for me somehow to listen to, and it was very interesting to listen to like the evolution of then how did you get from that piece to this one. And what struck me about that, there were a couple of things that really struck me about your statements about that. The first is the fact that this first larger production you had in mind had no was very abstract and very personal, and it was all about sort of breath, without these very overtly political issues around race and gender.
And then writing this whole concept, contacting these people, and going with this concept to Annelie from Dampfzentrale, which is the theater here in Bern that usually produces my work, but she told me that she wasn't interested in it, or she felt it's not convincing at all. And I just figured, okay, I imagine it's clearly maybe not too abstract, and it doesn't have a enough urgency. You know, it's not clear enough why an audience should see this kind of work.
And it was very interesting for me to hear that in a way you arrived at the current piece because the first one was rejected, essentially. And that you sort of realized, oh, well, political, a more explicitly political piece may get me further. And I find that really interesting. I don't know if it's what it says about you or what it says about like cultural institutions, right? Because at the end of the day, Annalie did go along with this new piece when it took on this overtly, this overt engagement with racism and with gender and so on, race and racism. And so it just makes me wonder about this cultural moment we're in the sense that sort of these issues, these cultural products that deal with these issues of race and gender are very sexy right now, right? And in a way, you can get a lot of mileage out of dealing with these themes. And that then sort of makes me question, what does that mean? There's clearly, on some level, this hunger amongst white audiences for this material, right? This material where, you know, they're having to look at, you know, reflect on things like their own racism, or on heteronormativity and gender and all of that stuff. But there's a part of me that's worries that this is all like very faddish, and that actually part of that hunger for this material is so that you can go to the theater, watch a piece that deals with race and gender, feel very kind of cosmopolitan and self-enlightened because of it, and then go home and nothing actually changes, right, in terms of these power structures that that are being dealt with.
So I remember that it was a bit of a process of figuring out who should be in it, and there were no people of color in it. I can already say that, and I was also not at all busy with that topic, even of casting and who do I want to give an opportunity and who deserves an opportunity. I think I was, you know, often I tend to work with people that I already know, that I don't really often, I have never done an audition actually for any of my projects.
And then the other thing that I found interesting about what you said about this first concept that you had with the multiple performers was not only that it was a sort of abstract personal piece, but also that that the cast was entirely white, and that you tend to not really audition people for performers for, you know, parts, but that you kind of tend to work with friends or work with people who feel you are familiar with and who are familiar with your work. And I also find that very interesting because I think that says something about the way that your maybe methods perpetuate these, your own privilege and the privilege of those who kind of look like you. In that, you know, if you are now working with me, a woman of color, and other women of color, that is partly because that first concept was rejected, right? The larger concept. And had it not been rejected, you would have simply worked with a bunch of white performers and never really thought about these issues. And this thing of familiarity is very interesting because it's not like familiarity is not a random process, right? You're familiar with, you feel familiar with people who look and sound like you in a way, on a subconscious level, if not on a conscious level. So you are going to pick people who kind of reflect your own image back to you and vice versa. It's part of the reason for me, for example, why I often feel quite uncomfortable around many white men or most white men I meet, and they feel uncomfortable around me is that, you know, I don't see myself in them and they don't see themselves in me. And therefore, they avoid me and I avoid them, right? And but the difference, of course, is that, you know, the white men I'm dealing with are often the ones with sort of much more, you know, access to resources, positions of authority, and so on.